Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. In today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series of podcasts states, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. And the key sentence for today? Let us join our voices in exalting God and His Word together. In the last podcast, we listened to a Chapel of the Air radio broadcast from many years ago that covered pertinent information regarding the solo reading of Scripture. Today, we turn to the subject of two people reading Scripture together. David, you've had a lot of experience working with your wife Karen in recording broadcasts and even speaking together at churches and conferences. Are two really better than one?
Well, that's Scripture. I think it comes out of Ecclesiastes, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, the answer is two are better than one in a lot of ways. In terms of Scripture, I'm dying to actually show you how they enhance the reading of Scripture, but I'll wait until that broadcast comes on because, as I recall, there were a lot of really strong examples given that very quickly brings you to the place of saying, yeah, two can be a lot better than one.
Well, very good. Well, let's not wait 1 minute longer. Let's listen to another exchange between you and your wife, Karen, on this very topic.
As we approach this fourth topic in our series, Down with the Dulls, David and Karen present the concept of Scripture by twos. Some of you may not know that before joining the chapel staff, our director David Maines was known as an authority on creative service planning. His book, Full Circle, is still studied in seminaries as a reference on worship. And David has spoken all across the country at ministers' seminars, schools, and denominational gatherings. David, I'm really glad you and Karen are sharing your expertise in these topics with all of us in the Chapel of the Air.
Well, thanks, Ted, and hi to you, my friend. It is a fun topic, this matter of reading the Bible in public, but it's also one that's vitally important to us, Ted, because we feel the way Scripture is read in our church services will reflect on how people read the Scripture on their own. And so it's important that we have an element of delight and excitement and meaning to all that goes on. Karen, when you're doing something new and you feel a little uncertain about your involvement, would you rather do that new thing all alone or with the support of a friend?
Oh, I'll take a friend anytime.
It just makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
That's what we're going to talk about in our session today, reading Scripture with a friend instead of solo readings, now reading two by two. And I'm reminded of this passage in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So we're going to do it two by two. If I put it into a sentence, I'm saying, let us join our voices in exalting God and his word together. What are some of the advantages of reading the Scripture by twos?
Well, I can think of an advantage right offhand is that you have better audience listenability. We discovered this when we began to dialogue together. We could say the same things that you might say alone or I might say by myself. But when we dialogued together, when we jumped off of one another's ideas, there was a tremendous factor as far as the listenability factor. It had increased and people loved it.
There are a lot of things as well that two people reading together can do creative-wise that one person can't do. It just lends itself to a great deal more variety. Maybe the easiest way to underscore that point would be through demonstration. Here are some scriptures we have put together on the goodness of God. Now, if I were to read these to you all by myself, I don't think I could keep you.
I would tune out. There's no doubt about it. The tune-out factor begins to take effect.
And even if you read them, Karen, after a while, my mind would begin to wander. Let's read them together and see if we can't capture the people as they listen. Isaiah 63:7. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all the Lord has granted us and the great goodness to the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love, Psalm 145, 7 through 9.
They shall pour forth the fame of thy abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made.
Psalm 107, 1 to 9. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands.
From the east and from the west.
From the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city
hungry
to dwell in.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble.
And he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way.
Till they reached a city to dwell in.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love.
For his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he satisfies him who is thirsty.
And the hungry he fills with good things.
Lamentations 3:22 through 25. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
Great is thy faithfulness.
His mercies never come to an end.
The Lord is my portion, says my soul.
Great is thy
Therefore I will hope in him.
The Lord is my portion, says my soul.
The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul that seeks him.
The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul that seeks him.
2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14.
It was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord.
And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord,
for God is good,
for
his steadfast love endures forever.
The house... The house of the Lord
was filled with a cloud,
so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud.
For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God.
Well, I think we've demonstrated what we're talking about, reading by twos, and instead of limiting ourselves just to one voice, exalting God and his word together. Some of the things we have shared as well in the broadcast lend themselves to further emphasis when we talk about two voices rather than just one. For example, we were saying it's powerful to memorize a passage of Scripture, but when two people memorize their passages of Scripture, that just doubles the force of what is being presented.
Well, and then you have a much more easy way to achieve change of voice, and you play off of one another. You can do it with a solo voice, and it can be done effectively. But that effectiveness is definitely increased when you have two voices who take different parts or who have different inflections or who have different pitches.
You talked yesterday about contrasting versions as you read the Scripture, to read it in the normal version people are accustomed to and then maybe a paraphrase. But having a second voice read the paraphrase amplifies what is being done. And then too, Karen, I believe that with two voices there's a great element of surprise. One of the difficulties of listening to Scripture read is that people know it so well, there's nothing that's going to happen that's unexpected.
I think it's more a matter of them thinking they know it so well, and that what we're trying to do is to surprise them with the fact that they don't know it nearly as well as they thought they did, that there are things in it that can speak to them, even when they've been in church all of their life.
Let's go back to illustration again. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 11, a passage that is very well known, and we're going to use a section that some years ago in a church service we put together that was a very long reading involving the congregation as well.
And we will talk about congregational reading of Scripture, but that's for next week.
That's right. So we won't do the first part of it now. We'll just pick up toward the end of Hebrews chapter 11. And I want people to again realize with the two voices how an element of surprise can come in that would have been impossible had there just been one voice. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith,
Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets,
who through faith
like
conquered
Isaiah,
kingdoms, enforced justice,
Jeremiah,
received promises,
Daniel,
stopped the mouths of lions,
John
quenched
the Baptist,
raging fire, escaped
Anna,
the edge of the sword, won strength
Peter,
out of weakness, became mighty
John,
in war, put foreign armies to flight.
Mary.
Women received their dead by
Paul,
resurrection. Some were tortured,
Polycarp,
refusing to accept release that they might rise again
Chrysostom,
to a better life. Others suffered
Augustine,
mocking and scourging and even chains in imprisonment.
Patrick.
They were stoned.
Ansgar.
They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword.
Thomas a Kempis.
They went about in skins of sheep and goats.
John Huss.
Destitute. Afflicted.
Martin
ill-treated,
Luther,
of whom the world was not worthy.
John Calvin.
Wandering over deserts and mountains and
Oliver
in dens
Cromwell,
and caves of the earth.
William
therefore,
Penn,
since we are surrounded by
Isaac
so
Watts,
great a cloud of witnesses,
Susanna,
let us also
John
lay aside
Charles
every
Wesley,
weight and sin which clings
George
so closely.
Whitfield,
and let us run
Catherine
with perseverance
Booth,
the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus,
Jesus,
the
pioneer
and perfecter
of our
faith,
who
for the joy that was set before him
endured
the cross,
despising the
shame,
and
is
seated
at the
right
hand
of
the throne
of
God.
I like that passage, don't you?
It's a beautiful passage, one that is marvelous to work with because it increases your own faith.
Yes. Well, where are we headed? We've talked about the problem on Monday, then we talked about hints for solo readers on Tuesday. We shared some additional ideas for solo readers. We're talking about 2x2, and then tomorrow
we're going to talk about using family readers. This is a new idea that may give completely new ministries to families who are looking for one that they can do together.
Yeah, sometimes people are in church and there's a family that sings, and you sit there and you think, oh, if only our family could sing, but we've been eliminated from those possibilities of ministry. But we're going to say you can be a family Bible reading group, and you can do it very well together. So that's tomorrow. Combinations, Karen, of two readers. Let's just talk about some as we come to an end. For example, we have been a husband-wife combination that we've demonstrated today.
Well, I love to hear similar voices together, like two men. Men's choruses or a men's singing group is a beautiful sound, but the same kind of sound can be achieved with two men's voices or two women's voices.
Sure. I think there could be a beautiful reading of Scripture with a father-son combination.
Or mother-daughter would be obvious as well. I'd love to take two teenagers and give them Scripture and let them express their creativity and their feeling about that Scripture and come up with a new approach together. I think they'd be a marvelous learning experience.
No one would say it would be dull either. As soon as they got up to read, the attention of everyone would be there. I think of maybe a contrast in ages, an older white-haired person and a younger person, or a black-white combination.
Oh, reading about the unity of the body, that would be beautiful.
Yeah, or I have been in a situation where I've heard a Jew and an Arab read the Scriptures together.
You might use the doctor with a patient.
Okay, or a teacher and a pupil. Well, we need a seminar with lots of time, don't we?
I must say, David, that I really like the variety that two readers give to the reading of Scripture. I especially like the example where Karen read the passage from Hebrews 11 on martyrs and you read the names of specific martyrs.
Yeah, it's just your mind kind of moves into a whole new realm, doesn't it? And I'll know this is successful, Dean, when sometimes I come and you're such a good reader and you're going to be reading from up in front and all of a sudden somebody from the congregation is going to start reading in conjunction with you, almost in harmony, you know. And I'm going to say, Dean's got it now.
Well, if you hear me do that, you know I've been paying attention to the podcast.
I just hope I'm there to experience it.
I hope you are too, because that's likely to mean you're going to be preaching. And we always appreciate it when you come to preach.
You're kind.
Thank you for joining us for this time together. You found the SermonCoach.com podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have many resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.